Really been looking forward to coming and being with you. This is my first time to be in South Florida in this part of the state. I was over on the Gulf side a year ago, and now I'm on the Atlantic side, and I am so delighted to come and to be with you, to get to know you. I have such deep respect for your preacher, Dan. I know his brother. I know his nephews. I know his cousin, and I was with his son Monday night. So I have a lot of association with the Jenkins family. I see people here that I know and love, Richard and Debbie Watson. Richard served as a deacon in Walnut Street in Texarkana, USA. And I appreciate them so much. I'm staying with them in their kind, kind ways. And I've always loved them. And Jackie and I have been close friends to them for many years. And it's so good to see so many others. We have one from all the way back in years ago when I preached in Mississippi, Barbara Barnes, who's here tonight. I wanted to thank Dan and Dave and the elders for inviting me. It's my custom to pray before I speak. Oh Lord, we are grateful that you're our Father. Father, we pray that you will help us in our times of unbelief. Forgive our weaknesses and help us to be strong. Reassure us, Father, of your love at all times and hold us in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, beginning in verse 14, the Word of God says, "And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And he answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.' They brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. He fell to the ground. He rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And it's often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for one who believes.' And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, 'I believe. Help my unbelief.'" You can imagine this father and some of the things that he went through as he watched his son year in and year out and some of the things that were involved there. You can imagine how difficult it must have been for him to watch his son sometimes foaming at the mouth and falling on the ground, sometimes in the fire, sometimes in the water. All the problems. And don't you know this daddy who loved his son had been praying for the boy? He'd probably been praying for him for years to be delivered. Finally, he heard about Jesus and how that Jesus was able to cast out demons. He brings his boy. He wants his boy to have the right things. He wants him to be well. He brings him, but the disciples can't get the demon out of the boy. Now, you can imagine the frustration of this man who had spent years trying to deal with this problem. When he finally had a hope, it seemed that his hopes were dashed. But Jesus can do things that others can't do. He rebuked them for being faithless. And he healed the boy. But it's the cry of the father: if you can do anything, help us. If you can do anything, if you can. That was startling to Jesus. All things are possible for him who believes. We need to believe that too. And though all of us may be in a situation where we're like that father who says, I believe, help me in my unbelief, we need to be the kind of people who really care and who really give our hearts to the Lord. When I think about faith, I recognize that our faith in someone is only as good as the person that we trust. We have to ask, who is it we're trusting? Your faith in God is only as good as God, but God is good, and He can be trusted. You can believe in Him. You can believe in Him partly because of His character, who and what He is. When I think of the Scriptures, I think of Paul's statement, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. You can trust God, and you can trust whatever He says. His character bears Him out. I've often thought of that promise in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, where He says very simply to us, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. You're not facing anything that others haven't faced. But then it stops and it says, but God is faithful. And that's the point of the passage. You know, anytime you're reading the Bible, let's remember that the point is to help us to understand the character of God. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I think about David's statement in Psalm 9 and verse 10. He says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9 and verse 10. What an amazing thing. David, that great warrior. You think about all the things that David went through and how many difficulties he faced, threats to his life from his friends and from his enemies. And God was there for him. And when I hear a man like David say that the Lord never forsakes those who seek Him, that's pretty tall cotton. That's pretty strong statement. That's meaningful in my thinking. We need to trust God for His wisdom. You and I are limited in what we see and know. But God sees what we cannot see, and God knows things that we cannot know. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. I sometimes get weary of people who think they know so much. People who think they have all the answers. I'm hearing that there are some who are saying, well, we're just not sure that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus declared that Moses wrote of me. I want you to know I believe Jesus before I believe any PhD anywhere. I believe Jesus because whatever He says is true. And you know what? Jesus has lived long enough that He was there to eyewitness it. He saw it. He knows what Moses wrote. He's smarter than we are. Our God is a wise God, and there's no other like Him. His purpose will be established, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. We ought to trust God for His power. And our God is powerful. You and I, we get sleepy about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Maybe you don't that early, but I do. My wife says I turn into a pumpkin about 10 o'clock every night, and that's just about right. But you know what? God isn't limited like you and me. He has strength and ability. Mark 10, verse 27 says that all things are possible with God. You and I can't do all things, but He can. And I love the statement of the Apostle Paul, kind of a statement that he prayed a little bit in Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19. And after he'd prayed that wonderful prayer, he just almost had to stop and praise God. And he said in verse 20, he said, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church. Yes, in the church. Don't tell me the church is not important to God. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. We can trust God's power. We can trust Him because He loves us. Now that means something to me. I trust the people who love me. When I think about God's love, there's never been anyone that loved you the way He loved you. There's never been anyone who cared for you the way that He cared for you. And when you think about the great love of God, you can understand why you can trust Him. He has the character. He has the power. He has the person. He has the love and the wisdom to do what is best for you, even when you don't know what is best for you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. A college girl once talked with her preacher. She said, "I've never trusted anybody in my life. How can I trust the Lord Jesus with my troubles?" Well, it was spring and the girl was going home for the spring break. The preacher asked her how she was going to get there. She said, "I'm going to fly." "Do you have a ticket?" "No." She said, "I have to find out what time I can get a plane." "How are you going to do that?" She said, "Well, I'm going to call them up and ask them about the times whenever they go. And I'm going to reserve a seat on that plane. And then my friend's going to take me to the airport and I'm going to fly." And he said, "Do you know the reservation clerk at the airliner?" She said, "No, I don't." He asked, "Well, your friend's going to take you to the airport and you're going to trust the information of this clerk you don't know?" She said, "That's right." "Well, do you know the pilot of the plane?" She said, "No, I don't." "Then you're going to trust your friend to drive you to the airport. You're going to trust some unknown clerk at the airline office to arrange your seat on a flight. And then you're going to take your seat in an airliner flown by a pilot that you don't know, trusting him to get you home." You see, she trusted far more than she thought she did. You just drive down the road and you're going to trust that the person who's coming towards you as you go down this way, he's going to come this way and not get in your lane, but stay in his lane. You see, your whole world is built on trust that people are going to do what they're supposed to do. I think about what a person who trusts God, what he's going to do. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When we put our trust in God, we're trusting Him to keep His promises, to be the things, to be the one who will keep the things that He's promised to us in a powerful, wonderful way. We've given our soul to Him. And one of these days we're going to leave this life and we've got to think about where our soul is. He's made a promise to us. He's told us that this promise is true and real. You know, when a person who trusts God for that thinks about it, there are a lot of other things he's going to also trust. You know, one of the things trusting God means, it means that I know that God hadn't placed on my shoulders the whole world. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of folks that they think the whole world is on their shoulders. That every problem that comes this way and that way is theirs to solve. Sometimes people even get the idea that if they didn't do this or they didn't do that, everything would fall apart. But I want you to know that trusting God means that the whole world is not on your shoulders, it's on His. And there are times that faith means allowing Him to bear His burden and to be the Lord and the God of the world. Oh yes, I know and believe that we ought to do the best that we can, but we need to understand that God sees and knows. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And it says about God that He moves to and fro on the face of the earth, that He may seek and find those whose heart are completely His. He wants to strongly support those whose heart is completely His. I love that promise. God is looking for people whose heart belong to Him. And if your heart belongs to Him, one of the things He's going to do is He's going to help you and support you and be with you and give you the strength and the help you need when you need it. God will be there for you. Peter invites us to cast all our cares, all our worries upon Him because He cares for you. Now, almost every English version I know translates that because He cares for you. But in the original, what it says is because it, that is that care, that concern, that problem that you've got, that thing that's so big that you don't know how to deal with it, it is a concern to Him about you. That's kind of a funny way to say He cares about you. But that problem you have, He knows it. And you know what? In the depth of His soul, our God, our Lord Jesus, is just as concerned over that worry as you are. He cares. It is it. That is, the worry is a concern to Him over you. A different way to put things. But it's a wonderful perspective to see. When I think about how good God is to you and to me, I think about David's statement, "Cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Psalm 55 and verse 22. I love that promise. You and I might think, oh, this is bigger than we are. God won't let us be shaken if we'll cast our burdens upon Him. Second, when a person is a faithful Christian, he's going to know that God sees and knows and hears everything, and that He is able to see the things in the future that we can't see and to know the end of the story. So many of us are looking at life and we're in the middle of the book and there's another chapter. There's another chapter. You might be a Joseph in Potiphar's house. There's another chapter. You might be Joseph in the prison. There's another chapter. You see, sometimes we look at life and we're in the midst of the struggle and we don't always understand what God understands. That maybe God has a plan for things that we can't understand or we don't see. But what we do is we put our trust in God. We put our trust in God and we remember that He may not be done with this situation. And the end of the story may be a whole lot bigger than you and I know. If you and I were Job's wife, we might be tempted too to just say, curse God and die, but that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the book. Paul went through an awful lot. But you know, at the end of his life, he talked about all of these momentary afflictions are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will one day be revealed to you and to me. Romans 8, verse 18. David said, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday." Psalm 37, verses 5 and 6. His son Solomon taught his own son, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight." There are times in our lives when we say, well, I just don't understand. Don't lean on what you understand. Lean on what God has promised. Don't lean on what you think or even what your trusted friend thinks or what your doctor thinks. Lean on what God says. There are times in our lives when we make decisions on the basis of our best understanding, when our best understanding is not God's Word. A third thing a faithful Christian will do is put his soul into the hands of God. The psalmist wrote, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever." Did you hear that? Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. That's where the temple was. Which cannot be shaken but endures forever. I think about Paul and all of the things that he went through. How he suffered and how he had been put in prison. He didn't know whether he'd live or die the first time. God was good to him. He lived on, but the second time he would have his head taken from him. And he says, "For this reason," in 2 Timothy, "I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him against that day." I've given myself to God. When I became a Christian, I no longer ruled my life. I let Him rule my life. I let Him be in control. Let Him. Let Him. Do you remember the last words of Jesus? "Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit." Have you? Or are you trying to run your own life your own way? How blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. I want God's Word. I want His truth. I want His promise. Increase my faith. I want to increase my faith, and the way to do that is to read the Bible. To read it again and again and again. To hear what it has to say. There are times whenever I look at my life and I say, "Phil, why did you do that?" And I wished I hadn't sinned against my God. I'm thankful for His grace, but I wished I hadn't done that. And in my heart of hearts, I know I don't deserve to be forgiven, but God's better than I am. And He's willing to forgive. But you know what? Once I ask God to forgive me, and He does, I need to believe it. God is faithful. And if we confess, we Christians confess our sins, and He's faithful and righteous, just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not a little bit of unrighteousness, but every bit of it. When I was a boy, my mama had an old Kirby sweeper, and she'd have me sweep the floor. And I'd sweep here and I'd sweep there. And when I was done, she said, "Did you move this and get behind that?" I wasn't very good about getting every little corner. But when God cleans you up, when the blood of Jesus works on your soul, when everything is clean, you're not 99.44% clean. You're all the way. You are all the way. We need to believe in the forgiveness of God. We need to believe that God is going to keep His promises to forgive us and to help us through those difficulties. We need to believe that God will answer our prayers. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." We need to believe that. Oh, it may not be today or tomorrow. It may take 80 years like it did with Moses. But God will answer our prayers in His own good time and in the best way. In a way that will be far beyond anything that we ask or think. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 and 21. We need to believe that God will help us through our struggles. You know, it's reassuring to me to know that I don't walk alone. God walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's with us all the way. He doesn't walk us to the valley of the shadow of death. He walks with us through that valley. And that promise, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world," is true today, just as it's always been true. And that's why whenever we have an anxiety, it's a concern to Him. Why? Because He was there and He saw it. And He knows it. God is someone who cares for us. I've thought about Jesus putting Himself into God's hands. The poet wrote, "Into Your hands, Father, into Your hands. I commit my spirit into Your hands. All I am and have, I yield to You. Your love and grace will bear me through. For You know what's best and what I should do. So I leave my soul within Your hands. Into Your hands, Father, into Your hands. I cast all my burdens into Your hands. All my stress and pain I give to You. Your love and grace will bear me through. For You know what's best and what I should do. So I cast my cares into Your hands." Two other things that I want to mention. One is trust God to tell you the truth. God tells us what's best for us and what we need to hear. Not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And you can trust God to prepare a place for you. Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also." You know, if it were different, He'd have told us. He'd have told us. When you and I grow in our faith, one day we'll be able to say with Nahum, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him." Nahum 1 and verse 7. You've got to trust Him if you're going to please Him. You've got to trust Him. There'll be times when you're not wise enough to know where to go pray, and God will give you wisdom. James 1 verse 5 to 8. There are times in your life when life is just so difficult. Put yourself in His hands. Into His hands. Into His hands. "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." Don't wait until you die to start putting yourself into the hands of God. May the Lord be with you.